Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. You know, I also thank God for the sound ministry that has got us into the level that we're walking in. God is doing great things in us, amen. He's advancing us, and this is all of us, and we want to celebrate him. But I also want to welcome our internet ministry, amen. Those that will be viewing this via the internet or hearing it on the radio, we thank God for you, and we say Merry Christmas to you and your family from the Christian House of Prayer, and we love you, and God bless you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, and let's all read it together. It says, neither give place to the devil. Father, in the mighty name of your son, Jesus Christ, we bless you for the hearers, but thank you and surely for the doers. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. You may have your seats in the presence of our Lord. You know, we're in the Christmas season, and surely let me say in the offset that I'm not a Christmas basher, amen. I'm believing in Christmas. I got a Christmas tree. I'm going home and going to do everything you do on Christmas. But the priority of this message is to put things in its proper place, amen, so that we would have a revelation about Christ in Christmas, amen. We're not talking about stop this and stop that. That's foolishness, amen, because we can enjoy this. The way we take earthly things and make them heavenly treasures is because when you get whatever you got, you put it in its proper perspective. This building is not the ministry. We're the ministry because we're in this building. Because if we ever leave this building, somebody else can take this building and it become an auto mechanic shop. It can become a whatever. So this building is not what made this a church, a sanctuary. It's the people in the building. Amen? So whatever you got, your car, your whatever you possess, it's not that which makes it anointed. You make it anointed when you got it, because the man next door can have the same car, the same house, but the distinction is you don't do what they do with their car. Come on, somebody. You don't do what they do with their house. This is the house of the Lord. As Joshua said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, I know you got a house just like mine, but what you do in your house ain't what we're going to do in my house. Is that all right with you? So we need to understand with clarity what does it mean to walk in the kingdom mindset. We got people playing church, but they have not become the church. See, this ain't hard to do if you want to do it. Oh, come on, somebody. That was a good chance for you to shout right there. Yeah, it ain't hard to do if you want to do it, but you got to be it, not do it. See, you got a lot of folks trying to do what they're not being, so it becomes hard to do. Is that all right? So we want to talk about this morning, Christmas, amen? And we're in the holiday season, and we're going to enjoy Christmas. You're going to enjoy your family, play with the toys, do all those wonderful things, but we're going to do it in order. And that's going to make the difference between somebody else's Christmas and yours. To God be the glory. Now look, it says in verse 27, it says, and neither give place to the devil. See, we don't give the devil no place, meaning we don't give the devil no day. Come on, somebody. Even though it's Christmas, and we're going to understand what that is, but Christmas still for us is a day of celebration. It's a day in honor of our King and our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. But even though it's still a holiday. Come on, somebody. Just like what when you go to Disney World, amen? Disney World is something, they go and do entertainment, but they ain't up there worshiping God. They tell you even in Disney World, this is only. All right. This ain't even real. But you can come and have an experience up here. But this is not, amen? So when we talk about Christmas, we want to make sure that we keep it in its perspective and we keep Christ as the center of everything we do. Amen? Amen. We have Hallelujah night. Come on, somebody. That's Halloween. Come on, church. You ain't going out there doing Halloween. Well, if you is, don't worry about it. You keep coming. God gonna bless you. But we take that same night and make it Hallelujah night. I don't want my kids to tell them I wear my candy. We don't want to deprive them of the candy. I'm just saying let's not celebrate the occasion. So then you got to, come on, let's convert that to give God the glory. So Hallelujah night. Yeah, it's Hallelujah night, October 31st. Come on, somebody. Yeah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We raising up men and women. It just blessed me so when I saw the kids. because it makes me wonder, is there not a cause? But then all the efforts, it's worth it, because how many of us cannot, let's just go here, how many of us can remember when we was there? We sung in the church. Come on now. This is why when you hear all the artists out there in the world, they always reflect back, when I was a child, I sung in the choir. Why didn't you stay in the choir? But we won't mess with that right now. So my prayer is that we can keep our kids in the hooper, in the love of God, so they can stay up under the auspices of the grace of God. That they, as precious as they look right now, I want to see them 17 still singing. I want to see them 23 still serving and loving. Come on, somebody. That's what we in this for. Everybody ain't got to go out there and get their head cracked and come back.
All right. Tell it.
Like so many of us. Amen. Come on, somebody. But we started out in the church. And usually after all, when everything break down, they come back to the church. You know, after the world reject them and won't receive them no more, their youthism go, stuff start lagging, sagging, dropping. Then they want to come back into the church. Oh, Lord. Yeah. I wish I was Lord, but thank God he's Lord. Could I have a couple of them do a little work? Yeah. You ain't just going to get back in. No, I would. I would let them back in because God let me back in. Oh, glory be to God. Yeah. But I just had to put that out there so we all know that God ain't playing with us. Is that all right? But now watch this. Let's deal with a couple of things, because in order for us to be able to break this down, we done got encouraged and children done blessed us, but I want to encourage you by enlarging you, amen? And I know you already know this, so please allow me to be redundant with you to share what you already know, amen? Because as the young kids say, we done heard this before. Yeah. But I want to add a little bit more to what you already heard. Is that all right? And then I want to clarify some of the things you already know, because some of the stuff is just a story. But let's tell the truth. Is that all right? Is that all right? So it says, let's give no place to the devil. See, the word Christmas comes from the word Christ Mass. We already got that, don't we? 1,000 years ago, we understand how that went, and how that they, when the Roman Catholics, after Jesus' death, they created this Christ Mass. But then the world took it and made it Christmas. Come on, somebody. That was the pagans, how they took it and turned it into Christmas, but it was really Christ Mass. We was coming to celebrate our Savior and our Lord. Come on, somebody. So that's what the church ought to do on Christmas, is to have a Christ Mass. Yeah. See, we got to put it back in order. Ain't nobody saying you ain't going to get no toys. Ain't nobody saying you ain't going to get no presents. But I'm saying before you open up the presents, let's acknowledge Christ. Yeah. It can still be a fiesta. It can still be a celebration, but we want to do it in priority, amen? Because it's all about him. It's not about the toy. It's all about that gift. It's talking about the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. That's the life-sustaining gift. Do you really know what the purpose? Can I just throw this in parenthetically just to let you enjoy something? Can you understand? I feel this, y'all. Can I come down there with you? Come on, let me come down there with you, because I don't want you looking at me like that. You're looking up at me like I don't really know where I'm going. I want you to look down. But watch this. You know, can you think with me in your sanctified mind? Let's go into this journey as we sit from heaven's point of view. Can we acknowledge that God in the beginning was sitting up in heaven? And he's sitting up in heaven, and God, by his grace, his nature is love. So God so loved that God's sitting up there with all creation power, all authority, all dominion, and he's sitting up there enjoying his glass and in his glory, his ability and all that he can do. And he thought, wouldn't it be powerful if I can share what I can do with somebody? So while God's sitting up there in heaven thinking about his ability, capabilities, and all that he can do, he's in the unseen realm. Because God is a spirit. You got to watch this. God is a spirit. Say that with me. God is a
spirit.
So now when God sitting up in heaven as a spirit, he's sitting up there enjoying the capability, the power, and all the he can do and create. And he thought to himself, wouldn't it be awesome if I had somebody to share this with? I don't want to do this all on my own. Matter of fact, I even want to create another world.
All right.
So God in the unseen, sitting there thinking about what can be seen. So God says to himself, let us create man in our likeness and in our image. So now God sits and thinks of, let's create man. So watch this. And when God created man, he created the spirit of man. Wow, God, you got to come with me. Because God created the spirit of man, and then he blew into the flesh of man the spirit of life. Because God said, if I'm going to make him in my likeness and my image, he's not my image, my likeness, if he's man. So what's my likeness and my image is spirit. So I created a spirit and gave it a body. Can I walk with you right here? This is just Bible. This is just basic. Tell the truth. We're going to tell the truth today. Because when we walk out of here, we can walk in a revelation and an authority that can't nobody stop. This is why mankind have a problem and an urge for power. Because you're sitting in God likeness, but you don't want to acknowledge God. So now we build the potential, the capability to create, do so much. We want to dominate because God says, when I made you in my likeness and my image, I gave you power, dominion, and authority over the fish in the sea. But I never told you you was authority over man. Yeah. See, that's when man fell off, because he's trying to walk in something God never gave him. That's, oh, help me somebody. That's why the next man don't want to submit to the other man, because I'm made like God. I'm equal like you. Even matter of fact, when God said he created man, he said, I made them male and female, and I call them Adam. So really, in all essence, the woman is just as equal as the man. So God said, in order for us to get something done, let me ask the woman, will you submit to the man? Why would you ask me to submit because you equal with man? But in order for something to get done for priority, somebody got to be in authority, even though we got equality. So when did the women get put out of position? That's another story. We don't want to deal with that today. So what we want to talk about is God walking like man. So God made man, and man stands there, and God now gave man the ability to be like God. And the purpose of man was to create or represent or reestablish what heaven already had. Yeah, this is why man, when he comes to his full potential, he will discover my greatest ability is to not create something, but cooperate with something. See, yeah. When you learn to cooperate with God, now you can walk in God-like power, because even though you were made like God, but since you don't cooperate with God, you can't use God. Is that helping anybody? So God said, this is what I made you for. Your purpose is to be able to represent, bring heaven down here on earth. But that's only if you submit to me. So now we understand where man's at, but now let's understand where Christmas is at. Because see, if you understand that concept, now you'll understand the reason why I must give precedence to Christ before I open up the present. Are you there? Are you there with me? Now, come on, stay with me. Now, watch this. See, because if we say Christ is not of the world, then we can't enjoy Christmas. Right? If you're a Christian, you say, I can't enjoy that because that's the world. Well, then, if Christmas is of the world, how do I enjoy it? You can still enjoy it by prioritizing the day. See, I didn't say get rid of Christmas. I say put Christ first. Is that right? Christ is primary, not secondary. See, the world done made Christmas primary. We can do it without even talking about the death. We can do it without even mentioning Christ. No, that's not the way we do it. For me and my house, we're going to celebrate the Lord. Yeah, we're going to open up the presents, but we're going to talk about the Lord first. Because without the Lord, I have no presents. So right here it says, see, this is where we come up with separation and not amalgamation. You got to separate them, not amalgamate them. Don't put them two together, because Christ is different from Christmas. Because Christ is a deity, Christmas is a holiday. Is this helping you? See, if we understand the difference, then therefore I give priority where it's due. If not, I can disrespect authority just by not. In Malachi, go to Malachi chapter 1. Help us, Lord. Because God asks the question. You know, we call him Lord. We call him God. Is that right? That's what we say. But Malachi chapter 1 verse 6 says, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my? And if I be a master, where is my? See, if I'm your father, father, daddy, God, then where's my honor? How are you going to put that before me? And if I can, come on somebody, if I be your master, where's your fear? Aren't you afraid to do that without saying? To God be the glory? Aren't you afraid to start the Christmas off without acknowledging me? I'm the one that sustained you. I'm the one that told the angel to sit beside you and watch over you. I'm the one that gave you breath when you wake up. I'm the one that got your children. Come on, somebody. Aren't you not afraid to do that without acknowledging me? Where is my honor? I'm not saying get rid of the holiday. I'm just saying honor the Lord. It's Christ. Mass. Is that all right? But not only that, now, because see, we can look at that, but not only submitting to giving him honor, we got to submit to the honor that the Spirit of Christ deserves in your house. Amen? And not making it secondary, but primary. It's a primary responsibility. Let's give a practical analogy so nobody gets confused. When we wake up Christmas morning, instead of running straight to the tree, come on, somebody, let us, come on. Let us sit down. Now watch this. Let us sit down and do some devotion. Now, if you still want to stay with the tradition and, you know, the kids waiting up all night, ain't nothing wrong with that. But then the night before, sit them down and talk to them about Christ. So when they wake up, but let it be, because heaven and earth is watching me. Let it be known that God know that I honored Christ before I honored that present. I ain't talking about getting rid of that present. I'm not talking about not having that day. I'm just saying put it in perspective. So not only do you know it, but your children know. Amen. That your children know it's all about him. You're going to get the present, baby. I'm going to still bless you. We're going to still get the tree. We're going to still wake up at night. But when we get up, let it be on our hearts and our minds that our reverence is to God. Don't that present is dead. You can't get no more out of that but just fun. It's already paid for. Ain't nothing else happening. But Jesus is alive on the inside of you. He's keeping you, covering you, protecting you. Honor the Lord before you honor the day. Is that all right? Look at Matthew chapter 1. See, we must first establish the truth about Christ. Is this Matthew chapter 1? You know, one of the greatest assets, and the world teaches us that knowledge is information, is power. Is that right? But don't you know in the spiritual realm, information is power? The more you know about him, the more you can walk in him. The more you can manifest him. Don't you know you're going to need the power of God as a Christian? Don't you know it's going to take the power of God to transform you, yes, change you, save you, keep you, heal you, deliver you? This ain't no game. We've been blessed with the grace of God to walk in the power of God, but you got to have the knowledge of the power. That's why they call it the will. All right. The Old Testament and New Testament is the, come on, this is covenant talk. This is what you got coming. But if you don't know what you got, you can never experience what he gave you. So now we walking around. Have you ever asked somebody to help you and you already had the answer? You didn't know you had the answer. Have you ever brought the same item twice because you just didn't know where it was or you didn't know how to use it? And they told you, you know, the item you just brought, that was on your other system. If you knew how to use it, you already had it. You just didn't know how to use it. Well, that's the kingdom. We got the benefits and all this, but we got to learn how to use it. So we got to learn the truth about it. Matthew, is this helping? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Glory be to God. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Now, we know the nativity story, so that's all too cute. And even sometimes, because we have not went home and did our homework, we took what you said as being truth. Is this all right? Come on. But I come to 12, and when I went back and checked the scriptures, I'm like the Bereans. I need to examine what you said, man. I want to know the truth because I'm going to act on what you told me. And if I step out there and it don't do what you said, I'm in trouble. I hate to be done went out there and my situation is bad. I took you at your word and come to find out what you said wasn't right. So right here, let's break this down. It says, verse 18, and she had a child of the Holy Ghost. Let's make it real simple so we can make it clear. This woman was by herself, had not, she was engaged to this man on 21st century. So she was been exposed to him, and they were going to become married, but they had never had intimacy. Therefore, when she received this instructions that she's going to have a child without the encounter of a man, this was the work of the Holy Ghost. Now, we ain't hearing that today, but you just want to understand the story. Yeah. You ain't coming home talking about the Holy Ghost did nothing. No. We're going to really have to go back to church and pray. Because I ain't trying to hear that. No, Holy Ghost, where he live. But it ain't that. So you want to give Joseph some credit. Because Joseph really, he was more spiritual than you thought he was. Because he believed what God did. And you see, we ain't been in church that long. Yeah. You. I ain't been in this thing that long. You come tell me something about no Holy Ghost. No, I want to know where he live. Somebody done something. That's all I know. Amen. But let's stick with the text because we don't want to get lost. And it says, and then Joseph, her husband, being a what? Now, he wasn't a just man. He wasn't just a man. Let's invert that statement. He wasn't a just man. He was a just man. I mean, he was a righteous man. That means he was a man that had an understanding, a revelation, and an intimacy with God. He wasn't just a man, because just a man would have told you what I just told you. Ain't no Holy Ghost done nothing up in here. No, so he had to be a just man. I want to point it out to you so you can make sure that you're clear, because you just can't go tell that story to just a man. He had to be a just man, because every man ain't trying to hear what you're talking about. As a matter of fact, every man ain't even gonna put up with you. All right. Unless he's a just man. I can believe God say you're going to change. No, I'm talking about you better change tomorrow. Yeah. If I'm just a man, that's why it's important you got to marry a saved man. I just threw that one in just while you was sitting up in here with me. Yeah, just don't get just a man. Because just a man ain't going to put up with you. Yeah. Go on to Pat. Don't pat the cake. Give him some praise. I just saved somebody. I don't care how cute he is, how many biceps, how many degrees, how much money. He's just a man. I'm looking for a just man. I just want to put that one in there. Yeah, can I work right here? See, I like this Bible because it's in here. I don't have to lie and swell up and tell nothing. Read your Bible and interpret the will of God for your life. But I'll talk to you about that on New Year's. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you better be here on New Year's night. See, because, yeah. Because I'm going to talk to you about why you can't see. You know, everybody looking to be some things, go somewhere, do some things, but you can't see. And the Bible says, without vision, we... I know you got glasses, but you can't see. I know you got light, but you ain't got sight. Come on, stay with me, though. Right here, verse 19, it says, and then Joseph, her husband, was a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of. Now you already took that conceived. I mean, you done already done this? You ain't say what you gonna do in her. You say that which is conceived. That's why you gotta pay attention to how people talk to you. That which is conceived, that's done. It's all over, Joseph. She finna have this. You better get with what I'm talking about. You're gonna embarrass all y'all. Yeah, y'all didn't catch that. You could come back next week. Verse 20, 21. And she being brought since she being brought forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall what? Save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that he might, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by prophecy, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. And Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. He rose from his sleep. That's why I'm trying to tell you, see, you can't. If God ain't talking to you, I don't know what you're talking about. He rose from his. God was talking to him in his. Yeah, you got a whole lot of folk walking around talking and they woke. But God ain't said nothing to them. Because you got to come out of this, thus say the Lord. And be able to qualify the Lord said it, not Ghostbusters. Spirit of the Lord ain't told you nothing. You ain't been with God. I've been watching you for the last 3 weeks. You ain't prayed. When did he tell you that? Well, you know I'm a Christian. Man, I ain't got time for that. Go sit down with that. I want to know somebody that can hear from God. Amen. So watch this, watch this. So now we understand that Christ got to be established as the first. And we've been to break down now the story of his birth. Because, see, a lot of things that was said about Jesus' birth was really not how it went, according to scriptures. Because, see, you know, have you ever told the Christmas story? Be honest, you have. Was it accurate or was it just theoretical? Or was it just you trying to remember what you thought you knew about what did happen? But you can't even go back and prove that it happened like that. You just said what y'all been saying all this time. You know, Jesus was in that manger and, you know, the three wise men, they came and. Stay with them, Holy Ghost, stay with them. Let's look, wait. Let's look at what happened. Let's look at what happened. Go to Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Luke chapter 1. Are you ready? I'm not killing nobody's dream. I'm just expounding your dream. Yeah. Because see, everything you heard ain't really what happened. That's why you got to say, show it to me. Jesus said it was written. When you talk to me about Jesus, show it's written. Don't just be just throwing stuff out there. Come on, Doc. Show me where it's written. Because I got to believe what you said. If you said Jesus said, I'm compelled to obey you. Because you said, Jesus, do you want me? You know how your kids say, and you tell your child to do something. And one of the other kids say, oh, and you ain't going to do it? Oh, you said you don't want to do it. Is that what you said? Now they telling your mom, telling the parent that the kid said, you said. And that ain't what you said, but they just front, you know, they putting you on black. Oh, you said you don't feel like it, huh? Didn't I tell you? Oh, you got something else to do? And they putting you on blast. See, some folk put you on blast when it come to God because they said something that, as you telling God that God said it, you said God said, but I'm saying I ain't going to do what God said. God said, you said what? Because you can't tell God no. Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, if you don't want to? See, it's yes, Lord. It ain't no Lord. So when somebody say the Lord said, man, somebody come up to me and say, Pastor, you know, the Spirit of the Lord told me, man, I'm already, my hands bound. Whatever you about to say after that ain't nothing I can say because you said the Spirit of the Lord told you. What can I tell you to do independent of what God told you? So it's best not to approach the person, the Spirit of the Lord. Just say, this is what I feel on my heart. But if you say the Spirit of the Lord, I'm bound. Even if I know the answer, I can't tell you to do contrary. You said the Lord said. What I'm going to tell you, disobey the Lord lying. But the Bible said, let God be true and every man. Somebody lying up in here. But let's talk about what they said. Because it says, now let's look at this and what happened to Mary. The scripture says that it was the Holy Ghost work on her life, right? Because this is what the angel said, that when she going to conceive, this was she conceived by the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Stay with your Bible. It's the Holy Ghost, right? Now, Luke chapter 1, verse 28 says. Now, verse 27. Verse 26. It says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a what? Virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was. So all that text is right. And the angel came unto her, referring to Mary, and said, Hail, thou art what? Highly favored. The Lord is what? And blessed are what? Wait. Because we got people right now, and the Lord know I'm not religiously bashing anybody's faith. I just want to put it in perspective. We got people right now praying to Mother Mary. So that must mean that Mother Mary is in the deity family. If I'm going to pray to you now, you got to be talking about you some God. Come on, stay with me. But the text said, that's why I tell you, slow down when you're talking to me. You're talking too fast. You know, somebody, no, Doc, I'm not hearing that, man. Slow down. Go Big Bird. Duh, we, set, when. I need to understand what you're saying. Because, see, I know you slick now, but slow it down. Slick, you talk to a can of oil. Slow that down. I need to hear what you saying. Because right here, look at the text. It says, Hail, thou art what? Highly favored. The Lord is what? With thee. Now let's break this down. I can believe God that the Lord is with you because he's with me. But I'm not no God. The Lord is with, you know, God uses all of us. That don't make me God. I just got God potential. I'm used by God, but I can't go sit up in God's seat. He said, for the Lord is what? With thee, and blessed art thou what? Right there. Because he said, blessed thou art what? These people here are among one another. They are among one another. But if I say above, you got to come from out there and get up here. Somebody put Mary up here when she's supposed to be down here. Is this text? Because he said, blessed, but thou art highly favored. You in the body of Christ. How did you get up there? Let the truth be told. See, I ain't taking away your holiday. I'm not taking away whatever you celebrate, whatever you, but don't worship what you ain't supposed to. Because that's why we may not be getting answers like we need to. Because it says right here, for thou art blessed among women. Is that right? Now go to verse 48. See, we don't pray to her. We should, what do? We call her Blessed Mary, not Mother Mary. Now hear me. The only way you can use Mother Mary is you referring to her in regards to her son, Jesus. But not Mother Mary like over the. Lord God, forgive. My job is to tell you the truth. I'm not here to hate on nothing, but God got to give an account to God if you sit here and he told me to tell the truth. Look at verse 48. Stay with me. My time getting short. I might have to stretch this, y'all, because I ain't going to let you walk out of here on Christmas looking for nothing but Jesus. Come on, somebody. Verse 48. He says, for he have regarded the low esteem of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me what? So now that is a good, you are blessed, Mary, that the Lord used you to do such a profound thing. But you didn't get promoted in it. Yeah, you blessed now, Mary. I ain't gonna lie to you. I ain't never seen nothing happen like that before. You blessed, but you're not my God. Is that Bible? Okay, you're looking at me strange. So we call her Mother Mary only if we're referring to Jesus. Now go to Luke chapter. Look at verse 27. I want to walk this here. See, to be espoused to a virgin. Let's Let's talk about that. Huh. Because see, now. Whatever he did in Mary, he did it back then when she had Jesus. So now we're praying to the Virgin Mary. Come on, talk to me now. Is that right? Now, a virgin is a person that ain't never had no. Now, stay with your Bible. Now, it's all right, but Lord, I hate to get to heaven or get to the place that I need to be help from God, and I'm using the wrong tools. I'm not saying get rid of nothing. I'm just clarifying what he said. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Because when Mary had that baby, she was a virgin. And God used the virgin to bring forth the Son of God. That was her firstborn. But Mary had more children after that. So that means Mary can't be no virgin. Today she can't be a virgin. Now I know we working with some tools and science today. But if you had them kids. You ain't no virgin. Now God can restore your virginity in regards to your consciousness. But everything else is. That boy 15 years old. I'm not messing, I'm dealing. But while I'm dealing, I did mess a little bit. Look at verse 18. Are you in? I said Matthew, right? I'm in Mark. That text looked good, but it wasn't the one. I was finna go at it. Look here. Verse 18, right? Matthew chapter 4. Y'all get yourself together. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. All right, listen. It says, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two Simon called what? Peter and Andrew, his what? Now, them was Jesus' brothers. So, now I ain't talking about like we talking about church. There was Mary's babies. Amen? I'm just working the text. Let's go to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. You got to hurry up now. Yeah. Mark chapter 3, verse 31. Glory be to God. It says, and then came, there came then his what? Brethren and his mother standing without, sent unto him, calling him. The multitude said about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek thee. And he answered and said unto them, who is my mother or my brother? So that confirms that Jesus had brothers and even a sister. And watch this. So that means that Mary had more, because the scripture says Jesus was her firstborn. So if you say firstborn, that's indicative of it was more born after that one. You just specify this particular one. Is that right? So Mary had more children. So now Mary is not a virgin, but she was a virgin when she had Jesus, but she was only used by the Holy Ghost. Is that right? No. Okay. Now watch this. Go to Luke chapter 2. I want to work this. I ain't got so many more minutes, so I'm going to go ahead and drop it. Because see, every time you notice in the scriptures when they start talking about, and Abraham begot, and this one begot, they was two in the genealogies, right? Talking about who had who was born in this family lineage. But then when it got up to Jesus, because they used the word begat, B-E-G-A-T. But when it got to Jesus, they was talking about begotten. Because begat was indicative of everybody from Adam. The first Adam was a physical birth. Everybody that came in the second Adam which is Jesus Christ, was a spiritual birth. So that was a begotten. They were begat. Come on, church. They were begat. So when we looking at everything, remember I told you got two dimensions that's always operating. You got the natural and the spiritual. So they were dealing with the natural because Jesus hadn't came, so they were begot. But when Jesus came, they were begotten of the Lord. See, the family of Christ, the body of the church of the living God, is begotten. Because we came in through Jesus. This is why we got the second birth. Well, you come up with a second birth. The second birth is indicative of your spiritual birth. The first birth is your natural. That's how you came here. Amen. But everybody naturally ain't born spiritually. That's why you got to be born again. Is this teaching helping you at all? See, when we talk about Christmas, we're going to walk. I'm believing the church to walk in the power of God without the games and the gimmicks. Because I'm right with God, I'm a just man. I can walk in the power of God. I can speak to some things and command it by the authority of the word. Not me just pretending and playing church. Not me trying to and all that jumping and gorilla flipping. Ain't nothing powerful happening. Because you're not a just man. You're not a just woman. You're just a woman. You just a man playing church. But when you're right with God, walking in the power, you can stand up. And I'm talking about, you ever seen somebody sing and the whole church just weep? Then you see some other folks sing and everybody just clapping. What was the difference? There was an anointing up on that. You spoke to my spirit. You made. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm feeling this. Are you with me? Are you in Luke here? Thank you, man of God. Look at Luke. Because see, right here, Luke chapter 1. I got to hurry up. God wants us to walk. When we walk, even when you have your Christmas devotion, even when you celebrate with your family, it's going to be a different anointing on you. Because you just putting stuff in order. When you just get in order, there's an anointing. Just get in order. We don't even know what we're doing, but I'm going to put Jesus first, baby. Come on, sit down here. Little Willie, put that thing down and come on in here. Because we're going to get right with God. There's an anointing that will fall into place. Just because you did the orderly thing. Because you know you can be Christians and still do the other thing and ain't nothing up in there. All you got was a present. But there was no presence. The presence of God wasn't in your house. It wasn't in that place. Oh, boy, if I had 30 more minutes, I'd wear you out up in here. In Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2. Yeah, you ain't getting no more. Matter of fact, we ain't going to have service on the 28th of December. Amen. Because that's a Tuesday, and I want y'all to be prepared for New Year's Eve. Amen. So make sure you put that down. So since I gave you that time, I'm going to take a little bit more of your time right now. Yeah, I'm a little smarter than you think. It was just the right time to tell you. But watch this, right there. Watch this. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it said, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the word should be taxed, that the world should be taxed. And this was the first made when Cyrus was governor of Assyria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up to Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. You just heard that. Verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should deliver. And she brought forth her what? Firstborn. Come on, y'all. I'm studying that Bible. She brought forth her firstborn. So that's indicative that she has some more. I'm not just coming up with something. She brought forth her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothing and laid him in a what? Because there was no room in the. And there were in the same country what? Abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock. Now, you heard the story that it was three wise men. It wasn't no three wise men. The scripture says it was wise men. I'm telling you, you know, if you talk to somebody, man, they don't be able to put something in there on you. The more they tell the story, the more people get involved. Well, where they come, man, that ain't real, Doc. Who you, how he get in there? Well, you know that. The June bug was back there. No, he wasn't. But why? So now watch this. So they saying that the shepherds was there, but they told you it was the wise men. Come on, somebody. Come on. You got to preach this. So you got to go to your Bible and read your text. Is that right? And while we're here, oh, let's stay right here. It says in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them in the glory of the Lord, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. Which is what?
Christ.
Which is what? I won't even mess with that because I ain't got time. But Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, for unto us a child was born, and unto us a son was. Mary had Jesus. God gave Christ. See, so, oh, come on, come on, come on. So you can't put Christ in Christmas, and you can't take him out. Well, let's say you can't put Christmas in Christ. Because that came from God. Mary had Jesus. God gave Christ. It says, for unto us, which is Christ the Lord. Verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in what? Swaddling clothes, lying in a... Now. He said, you shall find. Now go to Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to let you go. It's getting good to me now. I felt my first sweat. I mean, we better go to work up in here. You should have left early. You should deal, Pastor. Now it's too late now. Lock the doors, Usher. We're going to get this done. We're going to get this work done. Because now, he said they were wrapped in a manger. The shepherds found them in the manger. Let me show you the Bible. And I won't hold you no longer after this. Are you in Matthew chapter 2? Look at verse 1. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came what? How many? Yeah, see, the way you get three. See, it was just tradition. And really what happened was the wise men was the astrologers, those that really sat around and do gazing and interpreting the star. That's why they said they saw the star in the, because they was on their job doing their thing. Whoa, what's that bright light, man? That's brighter than all the lights up out here. He says, and Herod the king, there came what? Wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have what? Seen his. They ain't got no relationship with God. They just seen a. They seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And Herod was. We don't want to go there. Because see, Herod really was just mad because he. See, the whole thing about Jesus was nobody wanted to give up the worship of the people, just like democracy. Nah, it's people. Folk after the people vote. They ain't caring about what happened to you. We just need a mass of them folk to call my name. Vote me in, because I need them numbers. Once we in, we do what we do. Starve you, hate you, whatever. But all I need is your folk right now. So Herod didn't want, he didn't want nobody. He said, where's the king of the Jews? We ain't worried about no Jew born. We don't want nobody to call, say he king. Because then the people going to worship him and not us. And we got to get a job. So we need to go find out where that star is. Get them boys down there gazing and fumbling. Get up from there. Man, go see that thing for the people. Catch hold of that thing and start worshiping him. And next night you ain't got no job because you going before I do. Yeah, it fall down. Yeah. You going out here before I do, so you better go find out what that star is, Doc, before you lose your little position. I'll be the last one to get off this boat. So they was out there looking for him, and they saw the star. And the star was indicative of, because this was prophesied that you're going to, and his name will be called Emmanuel. And then, come on, somebody. So to tell the whole story, I'm not going to keep you too long. That this is where God wants us to know, that we need to understand, even when it comes down to Santa Claus, you know where all that came from. Santa Claus was a Saint Nick. Saint Nick was the guy that walked around and he gave up presents into orphans and helped babies, and the world took him and made it Santa Claus. But see, the whole story about this whole story is that you got to tell the truth, because the kids know that Chris, ain't no Santa Claus coming off that tree, off that chimney. The kids know, see, and if they associate Christ with them stories, then they ain't going to believe Jesus is real. If you keep letting them tell the story and they keep talking about it's just a, Well, you put Jesus in the same story. So does that mean Jesus ain't real? And is there really a God? So you got to separate it so the integrity can remain in the truth that Jesus is. The Bible says them that come to God must believe that he is and that he is a reward of them that. So I can't let my child, I don't mind telling the story, but I need to let them know it's just a, it's make-believe. Jesus ain't make-believe, baby. Yeah, Disney World, that's, but it ain't real. Now we're going to go up there and I want all y'all to have fun here. Buy, ride, jump. But this is not real. But Jesus is real. And I don't want to mix that story with this story. So I got to tell the children the truth. Let the truth be told. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Glory be to God. We got to let the truth be told. Amen. And you can validate the truth. I'm not separating nobody. I'm just, come on. Because I got to give an account to God. And I got to raise my children in the admonition of the Lord, I want them to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. If